Hallelujah. All right, are we ready to receive from the Lord?
Yes.
Some more.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why my wife is being hesitant about what she knows to say, but I will remind you, next Sunday we go through a change, another change. What is that? So that means Saturday you're going to be faithful to not only set your clock for the new time, but go to bed at the new time. You're not going to wait till 2 o'clock. None of you are going to wait till 2 o'clock on Sunday morning. Don't lie to me. And Sunday morning is too late to change. So all of your excuses have just been taken away. Do like sane people. Do like normal people. Oh, about 8 o'clock, go ahead and change your clock to 9. Right? So you don't feel like you lost it at night. That's a mental attitude. You know that, don't you? Because we already start off on the wrong foot. Well, I'm going to lose an hour. No, you're not. You're going to gain it Saturday night because you're going to be smart enough to change the clock. Right? Outsmart the negatives. Now, you know, it's I'm not one to, and I will not start now to be the one that toots my own horn here, but the messages have been good the last couple of Sundays. And that is because of God. And the feeling that you had this morning, that you all are being touched by, is the Holy Spirit trying to convince you that it's the truth.
Yes.
Isn't that what you were singing about?
Yes.
Show me your truth.
Yes.
Let the peace of God reign in me. That's exactly what we've been talking about the last two Sundays. Truth will set you free.
Yes.
I'll say it again. Truth will make you free.
Yes.
And Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit speaks Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
And so our movement is to more freedom and more peace. Now, guess what you've been feeling? The opposite. The war is on. All right, I'll just speak for me. The war is on.
Yeah.
Whenever, and we'll look at one example, but when Jesus came to give peace to the earth, the devil took him on top of the mount and tried to tempt him, taking away his peace and the peace that he was bringing. That's what's happening right now in our words, that the words are coming forth. And Harry, your word, your interpretation was absolutely correct, and you'll know before the sermon's over. See, one of the things I never could understand about tongues and interpretation, and I'm beginning to get a little light on it, is in a church service, God is not multi-faced.
Right.
He's unidirectional. He's going one direction in that service. And when I hear tongues and interpretation that are not bringing forth the sermon, then it's not the correct interpretation. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And some of the words he used this morning were exactly the ones that are in here.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's God. He's going to be moving in a specific direction. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me see. Let me tell you one of the common things before we even start this morning. One of the common things that the devil tries to convince us is okay to say when words come forth. I know some of you are bantering around words that God has given you that you know to be truth. For years you've been saying, I'll be glad when it's my time, when I can do that, when I can feel like that. What you're really saying, it's truth. I know it's truth. But it's not for me right at this moment. But I can see it coming. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. If God is saying it's time for you to rest in Him, then it's time right now, and you better enforce that. Even if it's a fight to rest. If God speaks to you about tithe, there's no such thing as a wrong time for tithe. I don't care how big your bills are. You put off the tithe, and they're going to get bigger. You got to put that thing in there. You got to honor God's word. When we stand up, how many of us can listen to this? Children, when we stand up and say, this is my Bible. It's the word of God. I will do what it says I will do. And then we do the opposite. We are standing as those that lie. You know when we do the will of God? When it doesn't feel good. When it doesn't feel right. And a real comical thing that I heard this week, it even applies in America. The will of God, in as far as obedience even, is in America, the land of the free. If you want to be the home of the brave, obey God. even when it's don't feel right. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, you've heard me refer to this. This is not the first time. We people in America think we're the land of the free, and we are not. Our money says one nation under God. That means you don't have a vote. You don't have a right. You do what God says, and everything will turn out right. Come on, some of you got quiet on me here. We are not the land of the free except in Christ Jesus. You are the enforcer of God's word. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit is the aid. He is not the enforcer. He never will be. We can say, Holy Spirit, flood me with your truth and your life. Well, He will. But guess what? The next step is you in enforcement. How many of you have been trying to focus this week? Or do you even remember my sermon last week? In case you didn't understand, the main thrust of that was focus. I gave the Bible study a little example of not being in focus. My wife got a little bit out of sorts, and I said, Mackenzie, tell them all, focus. Focus. And it helps. It's all right if somebody else has to remind us. Focus. All righty, let's pray. Father, we do love you right now, and we turn all of our focus on you. There's nothing that matters but you. We cry out, Abba, Father. Hallowed be your name. Peaceful is your name, your thought processes. We receive that into ourselves now, before the word's even given. We open our heart again to your word and your presence today. We ask you to change us. I don't care who in this room would say the opposite. I say for this room, we are not satisfied with who we are. We want to be more like you. Come, Holy Spirit. Presence of God, burn down mountains and enemies. Those things that are standing in our way of being more like you, let your presence go forth as fire to burn out of us, to burn what's in front of us and around us that's not like you, so that all things stand pure in your sight. Let that be the order of this service today in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
All righty. We're going to start off again, Jeremiah 29. We're going to do this until we remember it. Now, I'm not going to stay there. But we're going to start with Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14. The title of the message today is Your Future Sure? This is called redundancy. This is called we speak it over and over until we get it. Nothing wrong with it. It's a very simple method of teaching, and I intend to get this one. If you're already past me, then just endure. But I need to hear it again. Jeremiah 11 through 14. God says to us about us, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says my Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I was searching for God this morning on whatever direction He wanted me to go. And Desiree, better listen because I'm going to ask her a question here in a minute. But this was up on my desk, this picture. Y'all see this picture? Now, what's left out of this picture? What do you see in the picture? Huh? Mackenzie and Haley. But you know what you see in that picture? One moment of eternity. And the lesser of the moment, actually, because everything is out in front. The question would be, where do they go from here? Where are they going to turn out to be? And who decides this? Who decides where these end up and who they'll end up to be? While I was looking at that and thinking about that, a new emphasis of dedicating babies to the Lord came into reality. Because, you see, God already has thoughts about these two. But He's waiting for the parents to release them into the thoughts, His thoughts. Now, I happen to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has thoughts about babies because if you watch them, they try to kill themselves all the time. That seems to be their goal in life. And it seems to be God's goal in life to keep them from dying. He gives angels charge. Now, I've watched them the last week or two, and man, on a number of occasions, I just have to stop and thank God for that He's on the job. Because I've seen them fall. I've seen them have near death or near disaster experiences, one little fraction of an inch, one way or the other, and they'd have been wounded or dead. They don't know it. They didn't even know it happened. But you're sitting there watching, you go, thank you, God. Your angels really are in charge. It's amazing. They don't know it. They can't stand up and testify about it. How many times has that been in our lives anyway? Where we don't even know what happened. We just know that God's in charge. I saw the threats come. I saw God save. Now, if there's not a plan, why would He do that? Why would you intervene when there's no plan? Come on, a little encouragement here. Why would God care about babies if there was no plan? Well, He don't care just to keep them alive. Please don't think God is a moron. He doesn't just keep people alive. A moron is one that wastes a lot of energy for absolutely no purpose at all. And it takes a lot of energy to keep angels full-time over children. Come on, let's get back in reality again. And this is what happens. There's got to be a purpose. God gives charge to angels on our behalf for the plan. A plan that is not accidental. It is not haphazard. His plan is not in metamorphosis. Our dumbiness does not change His plan over us. Let me say it even more frank. Our stupidity, our lack of attentiveness to the plan of God never changes the plan of God. God factored that in to the plan before the foundations of the earth. You know how important what I just said is? Maybe we could get a little bit of weight off our shoulders if we'd understand that whatever dumb thing we just did was a factor in the total plan of God in the first place. He already saw it, He knew it, and it's factored in. And He wouldn't have wasted angelic power on you if it wasn't okay. It's okay. Desiree, what is your plan for the girls? All right, there's a plan. How do you intend to enforce the plan? How do you intend to make it come forth? Oh, you're going to turn it over to somebody else.
No.
To what? How do you raise a child to make you money? No, I don't care what the plan is. The point is, how do you accomplish it? How? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely the truth. But how can you assure me and them that that plan's going to come into vision and fruition? You think they will. I think they will. I'm a choo-choo train. I think. Oh, have faith. You know the reality? That's the only hope you have, is to trust God. Now, who does God trust? Huh? He is the trust. He is the truth. He is. So we as parents, we as friends, we as relatives, our only ability is to turn things over to God. Why? Because we can't do it. Right? There's no way that you can assure me by yourself that those kids will turn out worth a hoot. Right? Your only hope is in Christ Jesus. Now, God has a plan. And He's going to do everything that we will allow Him to do to bring forth that plan. First thing is we turn the children over to God. Second thing is we become the children. I'll say it again in case you missed that one. The first thing we as adults are ordered to do is turn the children over to God. The second thing is we become the children. So we're turned over to God. Yes. What? You know, the difference is Desiree doesn't have the ability to see the future. God does. Desiree doesn't have the ability to change the future. God does. Desiree thinks right now she has the ability to direct their lives. When she gets a little bit older, she'll understand she doesn't. That God has the ability to direct their lives. Yes. And when we do it His way, we are aiding Him in His plan and His direction. Now, isn't that great to talk about the children? Where do we fit in that? We're the children, right? Let me read you something in Psalms. Psalms chapter 37, verse 23. The Lord willing, this is not going to take too long. But let me, while you're turning there, Psalms 37, 23. Get these tapes, last two tapes especially, and send them to your friends or your enemies. It doesn't make. Don't send them the tapes so they'll come to church. Send them the tapes wherever they are so they'll come to the Lord. I don't care if it's salvation. I don't care if it's just a little help. I've already picked out several names that I want to send these to. They need to listen. They need to listen over and over because it's. I told somebody this last week that I believe that what I've said in the last two Sundays is more important than what I've preached on faith. Because this is faith. What I'm preaching the last two Sundays has been the definition of faith. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way.
Amen.
That means you are full of delight in your way because you know your steps are ordered. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. When you know why you hold the hand of a child? Because you know they're going to fall. If you don't hold the hand, you know they're going to fall. They're going to run out in front of a car. They're going to do something dumb. So you hold their hand. The Lord upholds him with his hand. What is that telling you, people? God expects you to stumble once in a while. But he's not going to let the hand go. Because he's got a plan. Now, you understand something. I want to clarify. I'm talking about people that have given, they've become the little children of God, and they've given their lives to God. I'm not talking about everybody that's determined to disobey. What happens when you determine to disobey? Would anybody that's had a recent experience would like to say what happens? You get in trouble. You get hurt. You hurt other people. So our determination has to be that we're going to please God. We're going to obey God, right? We've given ourselves to God. Okay, with that in mind, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Our natural tendency is to tell God, I don't believe that last step was ordered by you. In fact, I'm not too sure the last week's worth of steps were ordered by you. You know what we've just done? We've called the Word of God not true. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delights in those steps. God doesn't delight in your steps. You delight in the steps. I used to. This has just been on my mind forever. Mackenzie, can you come here? Come here, Mackenzie. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Come here. My children, I doubt if they remember. See, even that's ordered by the Lord. You don't have to have your shoes on. It's okay. She wanted to hear that. Now, I just picture God doing this. Let me have your hand, okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He upholds them with his hand. I used to... You know, you walk along like this and you can feel your kids stumble. You don't have to look, and all of a sudden you'll just go. Now, let me, a trick that I always used on my kids, you see my little finger? I picture God doing this. If I want Mackenzie to move, this is how I do it. You see what's happening right here? Right there in that wrist. I never thought about it. When I was raising my kids, I never thought about it. I just did it natural. I wonder, while God's holding our hands, if he doesn't use his little finger a lot. You know, going to run into Grandma's foot. Look at there. I did it with my little finger, not with her hand. I did it with her wrist. I've got her power. You understand the hand is a power? That's what the Bible defends the hand at. It's the power. Right hand is the mighty power. Left hand is the weak power. That's the way the Bible talks about it. When he talks about the mighty right hand of God, that's the mightiest power there is. I'm holding her with the right hand, and I'm guiding her with this little bitty tiny finger. I got her total attention and control. Well, I've got her in control. I picture that when it says, though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That's a capital H, his hand. If my hand is in his, that's the little hand and the big hand. He upholds me with his big hand. Now wait, I fall, but I'm not utterly cast down. I don't hit the ground. I don't bust my face all up because one picks me up. Why? Well, because I deserve it. No. Because I'm his child. No. Because he has a plan. I told you that was the revelation that God gave me the first time I ever held Jason in my arms. He said, "You're holding a full-grown man. Turn him into that. Don't talk to him baby talk. Don't treat him like a little child. He's got a brain probably smarter than yours. Treat him like a full-grown adult." Now, the only problem is that requires me to put full-grown adult requirements on him. Why not? I'm just a little child anyway. That's the best I can do to put on a child as a little child, even though I call it full-grown. I'm still being upheld with my hand, you know. One of the things that I've heard repeated, and I think I've told you, I'm going to tell you again because it fits in this message. God has a plan. And I think it's amazing me right now, the effort that God puts into causing us to flow in that plan or go in that plan. Now, you parents, when you're raising your children, sometimes you think you put out massive amounts of effort. You don't even understand that God planned the whole thing for the child. You just have to play along in the process. I'll say it again. The whole thing was arranged by God for the process of the child. You'll learn, but the child needs the most learning. And you are the person that's being used. Don't get all upset if your child goes nuts because he's probably doing what you did. Maybe he still do. Recently, Jason was talking to us about, because I asked him, I said, "How many whippings do you remember, Jason?" He said 3, and I think he lied about 2 of them. But when your child is full grown and he can remind you of 3 spankings, you didn't spank very much. For all of you that think that I went out spanking, I think a good threat is a whole lot more than a good murderer. It's a whole lot better. When it says walk softly and carry a big stick, it doesn't mean so you can beat him to death. It means so you can threaten with a stick until time to apply, and then when you apply, make it count. And then shut up and go back to your corner and let things go. They'll evolve. God's in control. Jason was in his mid or late teens. He relayed this to us. He was not in this area. He was in South Texas. Running around with some guys, they got to the house or wherever they went, and the guys broke out marijuana. And they said, "Would you like to have some?" Well, Jason, are kids curious? Okay, they're curious. So what goes through his mind is, "I think I'll..." No. And here's what he said. He said, "It didn't make any difference if I wanted to try that or not. All I could picture is the minute I got it in my hand, Dad breaking down the door and beating my butt." He was afraid of a presence that didn't exist. Are you hearing me? My presence went a lot further than my presence. It traveled a lot further. Now, who do you think put that thought in Jason's mind? God did. Why? Perfecting his plan, not mine. He could have done that and I'd have never known about it. He thinks. I used to call him up every once in a while and say, "Jason, stop that." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You know what I'm talking about." "Well, Dad, I'm not doing something. Would you like for me to tell you what you're doing?" "Okay, Dad, I'll quit." Holy Spirit puts out a lot of energy to perfect his plan. It's not about you, and it's not about me and how perfect we're going to be. It's about the plan of God and how perfect that's going to be in that person. Let's throw off the load that the devil's tried to put on us. It's not about us. It's about the plan of God. And we are to delight in that way, even when it seems heavy and rough. He's working for an expected end. Our kids are his because we say so. Did you know that? How many of you really believe that because you said so, they have an expected end? Then why do you get so upset? Why do you get so upset when they're stumbling? Didn't you agree with God that they have an expected end? Well, you quit being the expected end. And you can take that any way you want. But your vision of something right now is not necessarily the vision of God and his expected end. Right? The way you see it for the moment, that's just the way you see it. You need to find out how God sees it. There can be no victory without a war. There can be no directional change or correction in a child unless there's a fight. I've never met a child in my life that just naturally went the right way. It is impossible. It's impossible. If God is faithful to extend the energy for an expected end, you need to be faithful. Faithful, not furious. Faithful to that expected end. I'm going to tell you what didn't happen. The first time you didn't do something the way God wanted, He didn't drop a wall on you. You know why? Because He knew that that was not the end. That was the beginning of a process. I can picture God again. I remember one time, and my wife, she had every right to act like she did. My son, which was already about 4 foot taller than her, I think. But anyway, he was bigger than her. And he was feeling his oats. You know what that means? His hormones going nuts. And he smarted off to her. And she put her shoulders back. I'll knock your head off. I'll teach you how a cow eats a cabbage. You know how it is.
Yeah.
And when she finally hushed, we went in the other room. Now, don't you do this in front of your children. You make your correctional changes away from the children. I said, don't you ever do that again. Don't you go against what I want in that son. Let me be flat out honest with you. A woman is never going to teach a boy how to be a man. It's impossible. It's impossible. Why? Because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's raging inside of that boy. And you don't know what his goal is in life. You don't know who he's going to be, but God does. And it's far beyond anything that you've ever thought. Don't bring that boy down to being submissive, which is supposed to be the position of a woman. Now, I hate to be rude, and I'm sure the people on this tape are going to be stomping it right about now, but a woman is raised for a husband and to be submitted to that husband. A man is supposed to be raised to be able to lead that submitted woman into the paths of righteousness. But the key word is lead. And you don't teach a man to lead by beating him up. So I said, don't you come against the very thing that I want to see in my son. He's okay. Well, you know what a response is. You want him talking to me that way? No, I do not, and I will not tolerate it. But don't you try to physically correct him. You can't knock the stuffings out of a young man and knock boldness into him at the same time. You can't do that. Now, I might be able to, but I choose not to. Now, that doesn't mean I can't grab him by the collar and drag him off to one side and say, you ever talk to her that way again? As my grandmother would say, I'll whip you until your hide won't hold shucks. That's got some pretty big gaps. Now, with all of that air that I just expounded with in mind, how do you think God treats us? Do you think God grabs us and just beats the tar out of us? Or does He use some brain cells, strategy, threats, even some enforcement once in a while? But He combines them for an expected end. When's the last time you whipped a child, or when's the last time you told somebody off with an expected end in mind? When's the last time you took yourself to the woodshed with an expected end in mind? Now, last Sunday I left here and there was a gentleman that was supposed to be doing a job for me. He was supposed to be maintaining a position until I could get there. And when I got there, he wasn't there. I was very angry. Do you know God gets angry? His command to you is be angry and sin not. Parents, friends, relatives, bosses, and those that are bossed, be angry and sin not. And I got quiet, not because, what are you going to do, Stan? Because I knew I could feel some bubble in here. What are you going to do? When he showed up, he put out his hand. Hi, how are you doing? Oh, just a big smile. And I said, I want you to know I'm upset. Why is that? I said, you are a man, and you did not do what you told me you were going to do, and I cannot tolerate a man that does not do what he told me he was going to do. And from this point forward, I will judge your performance on this particular happening. I'll watch you. Why did I do that? Well, because you just like to chew people out, bull corn. I don't care anything about chewing anybody out. I don't care about speaking to anybody the rest of my life. It has not got anything to do with what I want to do. But what I want to do is see an expected end in every man. God's expected end. What was the point of that chewing out? A man should do what he says he's going to do. You tell me you're going to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, you best be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if you don't be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, when you told me you're going to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, then you are a liar, and I need to be cautious from this point forward about anything you ever tell me. Where would that teaching come from? The one that's got the little finger in the wrist, prompting us and forcing us to go the way of righteousness, not the way of the world. Why? Because he needs to be a better man? No, because God's got a better plan for a better man. One of the things we might as well give up is trying to make people be good people. We don't have that ability. But we can push and shove and remind them of Jesus, the better plan. Of a better plan for us, a one that God thinks on constantly. Let me just, if I can drill that into your head. Constantly, God is thinking good thoughts about us. We can't even keep up with Him. We're constantly trying to think bad thoughts about us. And then worse yet, God's constantly thinking of good plans for you. And sometimes, I don't think you hear. Man, if we can just get the mind of God on some of these things. The devil's job is to act the fool and to get everybody to act the fool, which is to go against God. He's very faithful. He knows God's thoughts for us. He knows the Word. He knows every trick in the book. How about that? And he knows he tries to affect this knowledge by even misusing the Word. Let me tell you the most common way. I'll give you one that just popped into my head. This is the one that I saw my grandmother do to my dad and his brothers and kids. This is what my dad tried to do to me because they listened to the devil instead of the Word. Honor your parents. You want to die early? Don't honor me. Because my Bible says those children that honor their parents will have a long life. You are no worse than the devil. Because you didn't give them a promise, you gave them a threat. I heard that so many times until I was an adult and I realized that some of that was BS. Even if it was the Word of God, the devil used the Word of God to kill. He didn't use it to... Let me tell you what God finally told me, and I've told you this 1,000 times. Listen to me again. The way you bring honor to your parents is never dishonor them. You live your life in love with God, and any parent that doesn't honor that is not worth their soup. I don't care how much you screw up. If my children, if they don't do anything all the rest of their life but honor God, then they have honored me. And even when they mess up, if their goal was to honor God, they've honored me. And I need to keep my threatening trap shut. My dad didn't like that when I told him that. Because that took away the little finger. That took away that, I'll get you. You know, I don't want to. The preachers used to do that to me all the time when I was little. They'd just preach hellfire and brimstone and tell me if I didn't act right, I was going to go to hell. So you get your little butt down here on this front and you kneel and you pray and you cry. And when you can kiss my feet, I mean the God's feet long enough, then you can get up and you're saved. That was not a Freudian slip. That was intentional. And one day, somehow, they couldn't scare the hell out of me anymore. You know why? There wasn't in me. There was no hell in me. How can you scare it out of me when it's not in me? Guess what? I had to quit listening to the preacher. I had to start listening to God. Did you hear what I said? You know what parents should do when their children stop listening to them and start listening to God? They can sing hallelujahs the rest of their life. Because your job is completed. You've done what you're supposed to do. Now, do you know how you teach your children to seek God? You seek Him. Boy, that was a hard one. You're the only one who wanted to say it. You've got to seek Him. You know when the best time to seek God, parents, is? Right in the middle of a big brouhaha. I'm telling you, when your kids have screwed up big time and they deserve to be squashed like a cockroach, that's the best time in the world for you to say, God, there's an end that needs to be sought. Your end. How do you use me now, at this moment, to go for that end? So how do we do that? We become the little children. If we can just understand that we are only parents because most of the time of an accident anyway, until we say, God, this child is a gift from you, how do you want me to handle it? And the only way we can do that is to say, God, listen to me now. The only way we can say that is, God, I'm a gift to you. How are you going to handle me? See, because that's the plan of God. In a nutshell, that's the plan of God. As soon as I have the ability to make children, then I ask the one that made me, what would you want me to do? Let's get off of children for a second. How about every facet of our life? Can we understand that we are just a little child in the hand of God trying to please God? You know how we please God? To try to please Him. You know how Mackenzie pleased me a while ago? I said, Mackenzie, could you come here? And she came here. Big, bad adults, that's how simple it is. We don't have to do anything but just to show up when God says show up. Sometimes we have to stop when He says stop. Do little children like to listen to the word no? That is in God's vocabulary. I want to warn you adults, that is in God's vocabulary. Sometimes He says no. And if you will stop, then He will reveal to you a better way. If you continue, then He'll reveal to you other things. Turn with me to Matthew 4, verse 5. Now, I want to read this scripture to get a little reality check in you. Those times when you don't feel like you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Those times when you think everything is going wrong. Please look at this a new way. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Now, the answer is because God says so. But what was His direction? What was His job in God's thought process? Redemption, the big word. But He was called to die. He was called to bear the weight of the entire world. Right? He was called to set an example to us. Literally walk as He's writing the promises in the Word of God. Walk it out in front of us. Now, that sounds like a pretty heavy load, doesn't it? Most of us would buckle under even a little slightest thought of that. But Jesus trusted the plan of God, the end plan of God, more than He trusted His own feelings. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Would you agree with that? Jesus had done nothing wrong. Matthew 4, verse 5. He didn't do anything to deserve what was fixing to happen. In the process of Him walking out our redemption and salvation, the devil comes along. Verse 5. Then the devil took Him up into the holy city, set Him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Would you think that this might be a low spot in Jesus' life? I would think that what we would feel if it were us was just, this is the last straw. God, you are making me sit in the face of this puke and listen to this nonsense. How many of you have been around people, maybe even yourself, that has said to God, why? Why this? This is just nearly over the line. I don't know if I can handle this. I picture this to be where Jesus was right at that moment. Jesus was not tempted to jump off. Why do we see a picture that Jesus wanted to be the trained monkey doing what the circus leader said? This was not the temptation. The temptation was to lash out at the Satan, to destroy him. Boom! Right between the ears, no more devil. I don't have to put up with you. Who do you think you are? And He had every right to say that. Jesus had every right to tell the devil where to jump. Are you hearing me? He walked in power and authority. He walked in purity and righteousness. He didn't have to answer to this guy. He didn't have to listen to this sermon. But for you and I, which is the plan of God, He did this. This was the temptation. Jesus said quietly, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Oh, my word. Can you listen to this for a second? Do you understand that we now have the right and the ability to say to the devil, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. We have the right to say that because Jesus said so. That was the whole idea of this thing. Another little plot opened up to us. The plan of God opened up to us about how he is taking back from the devil and giving back to us the authority that he originally gave to us in Genesis. We can say to the devil, we can say to the feelings, we can say to the temptations, you are not to tempt the Lord your God. Let me jump to the end or the beginning, however you see it. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And by that time, we already are in Christ Jesus. So the very plan of God revealed right here is also revealed in the end of time. We will join with Jesus in saying, you will not tempt, and now you will bow. And not only he will bow, but every knee that's ever stood against Jesus Christ will bow. Yes. Now that's that part of it. The other part of it is, once again, he shall give his angels charge over you. You know the devil was telling the truth?
Yeah.
Even if he turned it into a lie, it was the truth. And it is the truth. God gave his angels charge over us. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone, which means when you dash your foot against a stone, they'll pick you up. You're not going to lose your foot. You're just going to learn how to walk. You know why children fall when they walk? They're learning how to walk. God never promised us to never fall. He said you will not be totally destroyed.
Right.
The plan of God. We need to learn to understand the plan of God is that we will never be totally destroyed. It's a little bit hard. It's a little bit hard when you're under pressure to remember that. I smashed my thumb the other day. It hurt. I got sick. At that particular moment, I really didn't want to remember that I would never be totally destroyed. But it's a practice that we need to get into. What is a little bit of pain in the thumb compared to eternity? What did I learn? I learned something that I already knew. I just remembered. Wear gloves. When the hurt near is bad. You know why kids go along here and they'll just fall. They learn that's not the way to walk. There's got to be a better way to walk. So they practice and they practice and they get better. Our job is to know the plan of God. Our job is to trust the plan of God for us and for ours. We are not to be moved from that knowledge. So simple, so simple, so simple, so simple. What is the plan of God for Jonathan? See, I'm not going to ask Jonathan. What's the plan of God for Jonathan? You'll never let Jonathan talk you out of it, will you? You know he's going to try. Many, many times, the very thing that we are trusting God for is what gives us the trouble and the temptation to turn away from God. Am I right? We trust God for the finances in our life. So what happens? They'll give us fits once in a while so that we'll go to trust in our own hand instead of the hand of God. We trust God for our health. So what happens? Health gives us a little trouble, so we just let go of the hand of God. And we run to the hand of man. Ours, the doctors, whoever. What's our goal in life? Make sure we don't pull our hands from the hand of God because something looks like it's going to stop the plan of God. What in the world can be powerful enough to stop the plan of God in our lives? Me. That's it. And you know what? I've never had Haley, I've never had Mackenzie come to me and tell me, Papa, I am stronger than you. They'll challenge in many ways, but they'll never do it that way. And yet when we pull away from the plan of God or the hand of God, that's exactly what we're telling God. We are exercising the authority that he gave us in the wrong way. Don't let a temptation pull you from the hand of God. Don't let an argument, don't let an angry, don't let a something that you think is disaster or destruction make you forget that God told you you will never be totally destroyed. Come on. You can't think of a better promise. You will never be totally destroyed. I don't care how bad you feel. I don't care how far you think you've gone down. You will never be totally destroyed. Why? because there's a plan for you. God has a plan to use you. God has a plan for you to be used. God has a plan to exalt you if you'll hang in there. Psalms 91:1. Can you turn with me to that? Psalms 91:1. You know, I thought, Stan, you ought to just put together all of the plans of God. And I thought, that is the entire world. The entire word. He's already done that. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough paper. We'll just have to trust what God has already said. Let's go back to that. Psalms 91:1. He who dwells, it doesn't say who visits once a week. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We just sang this morning. What happens at the presence of the Lord? Hills melt like wax. Enemies are removed and destroyed. So we have to be where He's at, in His plan, in His presence, or we're running risks of being destroyed. But there's where He's at, there's never a risk. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide and under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, here's our mistake. I will say of the Lord as soon as He's finished His work. See, the plan of God is you are to say that before you ever see it. That's the trusting part. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Not in any other plan of man, not of my plan, not of anybody else's hand, not of anybody else's report. In Him will I trust. And I will say that. My job today is say, in Him will I trust. When I'm really getting pressured or in a squeeze, my job is to say, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Okay. If He's having to deliver you from this, you must know this. There's a glorious message for you. You can't be delivered from something until you're in something. That means that the same thing Jesus felt, the pressures we're going to have to feel. Now the good news is, Jesus was destroyed so we would not have to be. We'll never be utterly destroyed. Amen? He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. If you go anywhere else, you won't have the cover of His wings. Is that plain enough? His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Not your ration, reason, but His truth. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Oh, we are going to see some terror by night, but we're not to be afraid of it. Okay. Nor of the arrow that flies by day. So there are some arrows flying, right? But don't worry about it. You've been given the armor. Nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness. So there is pestilence. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. What am I trying to say? I'm not saying anything. Psalms is telling you that the world is loaded with destruction. The truth protects us from destruction. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Not what you see is truth, but His truth. 1,000 may fall at your side. So if I'm in a city and thousands begin to fall from some plague, the only way that I can get the plague is to start fearing the fall. I don't fear the plague because that's a lie. That only applies to those that are not children of God. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's better than 911. 917 is much better than 911. It shall not come near you. Now let me give you the right interpretation of that. It may come near you because it just said 1,000 and 10,000. So it's going to be near, but the word near here means it will not happen to you. Right. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You have the ability to see wickedness's reward. Those that are wicked do not understand that this is their reward. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. As soon as you've made the Lord, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come into your dwelling. How come? Well, because if the Lord Most High is your dwelling place, the Lord's not going to get the flu before you do. And that's the only way he can get to you. The flu can get to you. Isn't that what this is saying? In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Okay. There's stones out there, guys. Right? Who's in charge of protecting us from the stones? Okay. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Oh, you mean they're out there? Yeah, you're going to walk on them. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Oh boy, I got some good news. We can trample. It's okay. We can trample. That means stomp, tramp, stomp, same word. Because he has set his love or his plan upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Do you think God has the ability to back up what he says? Okay. He said, I will deliver them. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Because he has had intimate relationships with me and who I am. He shall call upon me. Who's he? That's me and mine. Stan, put your name in there. Shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Uh-oh, we're going to get some trouble. But I'm delighting in him, so it's not much trouble. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Listen to me. Psalm says to you, you're not going to get any honor without a little trouble. And as soon as you stick with me in trouble, I'm going to honor you. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. All right, let's go back to the promise. You don't mind me, you'll die early. Oh, really? I got a promise here that says I will satisfy him with long life if he honors me and follows me. There's one good thing about my parents not being here. I can preach like this. And I won't get any repercussions anymore. Now that they have gone on to learn the true truth, they would never say it to you that way again. Now let me tell you some good news. Angels do not stop enforcing God's plan when we get older. I don't know why in the church or in our society we believe that angels only work for little children. Well, maybe they do. Let's just get real. If I've become a little child in Christ Jesus, they're still working for me. I don't care how old I get. Unless I get too old for angels to work for me, and then they won't work for me anymore. Must be my decision, huh? If that's the case, I want to be a little child. We do sometimes stumble and fall near disaster, but never come to destruction. God has thoughts and plans for our future. In that plan of God, we are sure we are His. We are sure and we are His. Let's not try to develop a plan outside of the plan of protection of God. Oh my goodness. If I know that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'll never go to destruction, why would I need insurance to the contrary? Sorry, that thought just hit me stronger than ever before. If I really know in my heart, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm safe in the hands of God, why would I take out insurance in case? Now, I don't care if you like that or not. I'm not asking for an argument. I just ask you a question. You argue with God about that. Let us rest as little children, just moving in God. If he's got me by the hand, he's got his little finger in my wrist, I'm going to follow. You know, most of the time when I did that, my children didn't even know what was happening because I never heard them. They never thought about a little bit of pressure. They never even gave it a thought. That's why I want the Holy Spirit to be with me. A little pressure and I'll just move. Let me ask you something. You gals have been back there watching those kids. Do you think they have a plan? What is the plan? To kill you. You know, as I watch the kids, I really do understand they don't have a plan in the world. I watch Haley's the best example in the world. She'll go, this is the way she walks. And then she'll go right back where she came from. And then she'll do that room after room, just make circles. She hasn't got one plan at all except I need to keep moving and I'm trying to learn. Right? And I'm not much caring what it costs anybody. By the way, they will kill you. Your kids will kill you. You're going to kill me. They're going to kill you. That's the way it is. We'd all live a lot longer. Never mind. Let me say it another way. We've got to give our lives to something. Let's give it to something valuable. If we are little children in Christ Jesus, you know how God sees us? Right? And his whole job is to go ahead and let us bump in like little bumping cars all over the place, getting our knots and running through the mud and all that kind of stuff. But he's always got us watched. Angels are always there that when we stumble, we don't bash our heads, we don't break our noses, we don't do those things because God's watching us. If we're children of God, we're still in the plan of God. And the angels still have charge. Angels still have charge. And now you say this to your kids. I was standing in my sidewalk yesterday, and I'm not even seeing anything. Connie's back behind me. Mackenzie just takes off and runs. Whoom! Right into me. Falls down. Now she comes up with a piece of advice that took weeks to think about. You need to watch where you're going. Do you know that's how God talks to his little children? He doesn't lecture them for 45 minutes, bring out theology, bring out the Quran and the Torah and all that stuff. He doesn't yell and scream in our face for hours. He just says, you need to watch where you're going. You took off without me. You didn't ask me. You didn't consider me. So boom, you fell. But not unto destruction. Children are a hoot. I mean, we can learn a lot watching them. By the way, when children mess their diaper, who changes them? I change mine often. It was a garden hose. It worked well. The dog's always had a treat. There's your dogs that you kiss in the face. My God tells me anything that eats poop, don't kiss him in the mouth. And don't let him kiss you. That's how my God talks to me. I don't know how he talks to y'all. I'm going to get back to what I said. When children mess their diapers, parents change them and they don't beat them to a pulp. You know why? Because children usually get smart enough to understand I don't like to sit in my own poop. But we lose that concept when we get older. We lose the trust that God will change us when we haven't learned yet. But we lose the concept that it's not comfortable to sit in your own mess. We need to learn that. Listen, y'all quit looking down at me. I don't care if you think this. I'll go longer if you don't listen. It is not comfortable to sit in your own messes. So let's quit messing. I'm going to read this again and then we're through. Jeremiah 29:11. God wants us to talk like he talks. Here's what God says. I know the thoughts that I have for you. Little children say, I know the thoughts you have for me. I'm going to say it again. God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Little children, wise little children say, I know the thoughts you have for me. That's why I'm delighting in my ways. Because I'm in your way, God. I'm delighting in that. You don't feel like it, but I'm delighting. Here are my thoughts. God says, I have thoughts of peace for you. Little children say, I have thoughts of peace. I trust you, God. I'm at peace. So I'm going to thought peace. I'm going to think peace because you thought peace. I have thoughts of a future for you. I have thoughts for a future for you. I'm telling you, nothing ever blessed me like me contacting God's thoughts about Jason when I held him. Nothing ever changed my life. And I'm not praising Jason, but it helped me with Desiree also. But I didn't have to think that again. I already thought that. I got into the mind of Christ when I saw Jason to be a large man, carrying the weights that I'm carrying right now. It made me treat them differently. All right, if that's the case, little children would say, I have a future. It's full of hope. Now, Harry, just don't get old. Just be a little child. And I don't care what day it is, or I don't care what the calendar says. I have a future and hope. Amen. When we get that, then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. You will find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you trust me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I'll be found by you. You know what that says? I'll not hide from you. You want to see me hide? Let Haley mess her diaper. I'll hide. God doesn't promise that. He's a better father than I am. He says, when you're in trouble, you'll be found by me. Well, you don't know how bad I can mess my diaper. God says, I factored that in before the foundations of the earth. I smelled the worst, still got the plan. Don't you run from my plan. I'm not going to run from it. Why should you? You know, if we could just get this down, we wouldn't have to be seeking forgiveness all the time. It's already factored in. That's not open season on sin. That's not what I'm trying to say. Little children, what's God's plan for you? You know he's specific in that, don't you? He's got paths that lead to that. Let's make sure we seek his paths, because most of our problems when we're not at peace are because we're off the path. God would say, I have this person for a mate, and we go pick another one. I have this person for a job, and so that one pays a little more, we take that one. God is specific. You know, if you'll just buy this kind of car. You know God says that. Why? Because he knows what's the best.
Right.
If you'll just buy this, it'll go well for you. Come on. What we've done is we've taken God out of the details, and then we end up in the doo-doo. God is interested in the details of our lives. He just doesn't say, here's my thought for you. I want you to come to heaven. Come on. He knows heaven's not that easy to get to. So he lists out the ways to get there. He lists them out and says, let me tell you, your life is going to go so peaceful and so full of joy and hope if you just listen to me. Now, for your information, I needed this message. If you didn't, that's okay. But I needed it. I needed to hear it. I've had some really crazy feelings this last week. And you see, they don't make a hill of beans compared to the plan of God in my life. And I need to often put them back where they... I had a hard time putting them back in their place this week. I don't know why. PMS. I don't care. You put whatever you want to on it. It doesn't make a difference. There's no excuse for being out of the plan of God. Man, if we could just get rid of excuses, how much better off we'd be. Hallelujah. Praise God. All hearts clear? Yes.
Last Monday evening, I passed out in my kitchen, woke up on the kitchen floor, and my right hip hurt like a lot. But I trusted that it was still working. And I prayed, believing for healing, and that it was not broken. And then I also called the body for prayer for it. And to this day, it does not hurt. It's not sore. And I believe that God kept me safe for the evil.
Amen. Now, why'd you pass out? Close to the heat. Oh. Okay, so we got some things we don't need to do, which we need to not be dehydrated, right? See, in every calamity that we go through, there's also some practical things we need to listen to God about.
Yeah.
He created the body. He created the body to operate in certain ways, and it's our job to keep those things under control. Sun is not our enemy, but some of the things we do in the sun can be. Right? Doctors tell you the sun is our enemy. That's bullcorn. God didn't make the sun our enemy. How we handle the sun can be, but I'm encouraged. Little children go to sleep during the best of messages. So I forgive you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? We praise along with you, Richard.
I have a certified woman for a wife.
He has a certified female. He found out that the reason she had to go get a medical is to find out if she really was a woman. And so now he has a woman that's doctor certified. And I said, well, you're better off than I am. I don't even have that.
Was that correct?
It's all right to laugh at our enemies or the foolishness of the world. I don't know what it makes a difference whether she's a man or a woman or not coming back to the United States, but... Money. Anyone else?
Well, that's one job that they can figure out. You know. They might not be too good at doctors, but they're good at figuring out it.
I watched Crocodile Dundee. There's another way you can figure out real easy, but he's...
That's the laws of the land that we have to obey.
Yeah, and we're not supposed to be drawn out of peace because of foolish laws. We just stay in our peace, and God will make the laws work for us, not against it. That's the hand of the king scripture. So, you know, the law is not my enemy because my word says that that law has to bow. It says every knee will bow, right? Anyone else? All right. Heart's clear. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the one thing that I have to admit to you that as you get older, it's sometimes... gets harder to learn new things. So I need to go backwards. I need to become more of a little child and fight the enemy even in the aging process, which I can do. I've been given permission and command. Amen?
Yeah.
So let me be as a little child. Do you have something to say?
Yeah. I probably quit smoking. Doing as well as what I live for. Kind of humbles me that I
would
really like to.
Well, I give you honor for standing up and saying that, because that's a hard thing to admit that I can't do things. You know, that's not very many of us. You hear us saying that very often. But I was just thinking about somebody. Has anybody had any trouble with tobacco? Who quit? Oh, well, you got a bunch of X's around you. That's what I'm forgetting. And I was going to ask that they, since I've never had that battle, it's a little harder for me to accept that it's a battle. So why don't some of you that feel real strong about that, pray loudly, longly, whatever you need to do. Yes.
Father God, that your will would be submitted to your will, that it is a decision. It's a decision, Father, that you are the priority, and that then when you follow the truth, and you have to live.
Yes, for your honor.
For him, and to live and to help it to be at home. So, Lord God, we join our faith with his, and believing that he is going to walk this out, and that he is going to be successful.
Yes. And in this victory comes testimony and comes healing and many other things that he's had a problem with. Many other things. Yeah. Yeah. For his benefit and for God's benefit. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm addicted to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All righty. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I've found out seriously now, God can minister through me any time and any way. God can minister through me any time and any way. Supernaturally, he can do that. But one of the things I know is the best ministry is to somebody that's gone through it be the minister. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I figured that one out, you know, with marriage counseling. The worst marriage counselor in the world's never had a divorce. He don't know squat about divorces. He don't know squat about how to fight the good fight of a marriage. You know, I'm blessed with a wonderful gal, and I don't from the time. But I went through a divorce fight. What it does to you on the inside, and I know that somebody that hasn't felt that. Knows nothing about it unless it's supernatural. And that's why, as I said what I said a while ago, I don't understand the battle of nicotine. My wife just spoke it out. She doesn't understand either. make him bigger than a 4-inch whatever. I understand that was a good prayer, and I agree with that. But I don't understand the battle. I'll tell you what a friend told me one time. He smoked for 30, since he was about 5 years old. He was about 45. That's a long time to smoke. And when he gave his heart to God, instantly the desire for the tobacco went away. And he stayed that way for a year, a year and a half. And then all of a sudden, he thought, since I've accomplished this feat, this is a social thing. I'll just pick up a cigarette from a friend of mine that's offering and have one. And instantly, he was addicted again. Instantly. And so he goes to crying to God about it. Now, God doesn't speak the same way to everybody, but in this case, it's what he told him. He said, I delivered you the first time. You're going to deliver yourself the second time. And that's what he said. He said it was a battle. The first time was easy. Second time was a battle. Now, we never know when God's going to say that, so let's don't tempt God. I don't ever want to fight a battle by myself. Now, he did it, by the way. He was honoring enough to win. It's kind of like a challenge to him, and he just said, I'll meet the challenge. You know, the point being is we all have our little struggles.
Yes.
We all need to be bigger than those struggles, and that's what we've been preaching about. Let's think about the plan of God rather than about the struggle.
Yes.
That's what we got to focus. It's back to what I said last Sunday. We got to focus on the plan of God or whatever our struggle is. I don't care what it is. It can beat us. It can beat us. So it's not the product. It's not the thing that we're having the trouble with. It's how do we handle it. Amen? I stand amazed. The news is, as of this morning, they're gonna prosecute Sharon for bribery. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, what's his position in the Israel government? He's a head honcho. I got a feeling he paid good. And I got a feeling all of his life he's had more money than he can spend. And now they're going to convict him of bribery. So we know where his problem is. And the amazing part is, the problem is not usually in the lack. It's the fear of. He's never had lack. And he's taken bribery money because he's afraid of lack. What is the God here? It's not the plan. The plan of God is not his God. The money is his God, and he's fallen by that. What we worship will get us. Come on, that's a promise and a threat. What we worship will get us. They're not, I still claim that in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, seal this thought and this word. Make it our banner that we trust you, and that's it. There is no more. We just trust you. With everything that we have, with everything that we are, and with all the mistakes and everything, we trust you. We trust that final end that you're bringing us to and all the delight in between. We love you, Lord. Trust you. Everybody that agrees says amen. Seal the word, Lord. Seal the word.